think I'll just preach from Romans 5 out there today. So, I love it. I love it. I thought he was going to hit on my verse. But that's just a good one, too. I'm just not going to get to that one. But anyway, oh, God is good. Hallelujah. Well, it's a very special day, and I'm so glad Brother Springer are with us today. We had a wonderful time at Christmas with all the family. But I'm anxious to see what God has for us this year. Amen? And we want to receive communion at the end of the service today, so I want you to partake of that. And let's just see what God has for us today. All right, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to, if you will, turn to Romans 5. I'm going to be looking at the first 11 verses, but for the sake of time, just to start with, let's just read verse 8 here. But God commendeth or showed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad? He loved us just the way we were. And loved us enough not to let us stay the way we were. Amen. This morning, I have a question for all of us as I begin here. Let me just ask you, what anchor are you holding on to when adversity comes? Would you just make sure that it's Jesus? And that's the title of my message this morning. Make sure that it's Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul, who was the writer of Romans, the letter to the Romans, he certainly knew this subject very well. And I think if we were with him in his day, all we would have had to do was follow him around for a little while to see why. For ourselves, we've seen this last year a record number of hurricanes cross the Atlantic towards North America. There were, they say, 30 named storms, with 12 making landfall, causing devastation by the tornadoes and the floods and the thunderstorms that come with it. And people in our nation are still trying to recover just from those hurricanes. In a way, those storms are symbolic then of other storms we face in life. As we all know, we are dealing with a real virus made by our enemies to purposely take down America. You've got to understand that. And it has also become a tool in the hands of evil men and women in government at all levels to control us and to take away our freedom. To completely wipe out the middle class of working men and women through lockdowns of businesses under the guise of safety and health. But we're not going to be a part of that. We're going to win. We're going to see victory in our lives in spite of everything the enemy has planned. And so just through that, we have physical storms, we have emotional storms, we have family storms, family drama, and certainly as believers, we have spiritual storms. And sadly, sometimes it seems they hit all at one time. And when they do, it seems unbearable at times. And I'm sure many under the sound of my voice could testify that if it had not been for God with you, you could not have gotten through what you did and make it to this point today. If you don't remember anything else I say today, remember, as a child of the King of Kings, as a believer, as the church, we are on the winning side. No matter what comes against us in the coming days, in the weeks, in the So in regards then to an anchor, what does an anchor do? Well, it keeps a boat or a ship steady in a storm, but it also keeps it in place. It's a source of security and stability. It keeps the boat or the ship from drifting into waters maybe that you want to keep away from. How many times have you heard of someone saying during some crisis in their life, "Oh, what's the use? I might as well just give up." Understand with me this morning, an anchor won't let you do that. An anchor won't let you do that. It holds you in place during the storm that you're going through until there is calm waters again in your life. We all have storms in our life. But you know what? As believers, God has given us spiritual anchors, and they really are truths that can help us stay steady during whatever storm we find ourselves in. And so in Romans in chapter 5, especially the first 11 verses, there are five anchors that I believe can help us through any adversity. And so I want us to just quickly look at some of those this morning. And if you have a pad or a pencil handy, you might want to just jot these down for a future reference. Let me begin with the very first one. Realizing our present position. Realizing our present position. If you'll notice in verse 1, it begins with therefore. Or therefore. There is therefore. Which points us really back to the first four chapters that are before this one. Now, if you read the first four chapters, you're going to see two things. First of all, you're going to see the reality of human sin and the depravity that goes along with that. And then you see the atoning work of the Lord Jesus on the cross for sinners. And when Paul gets then to the first verse there in chapter 5, he looks at where we are now in Christ. We are justified through faith in what Christ did. Again, meaning that we have been made right in God's eyes by our faith. And because of that, we have two things. The first is the very acceptance by God Himself. Paul tells us that we have peace with God. And that's so awesome just by itself. Understand with me what that means. In chapters 1 through 4, it makes it clear, Paul makes it clear that God is not at peace with sinners, but rather at war with them because of sin. And as a matter of fact, if you take a close look at chapter 1, the phrase Paul uses is really the wrath of God. And then he tells how Jesus has satisfied that wrath against sin by taking our place, by taking our punishment on the cross. Not only do we have then acceptance by God, secondly, we then have access to God. Look at the first part of verse 2. It says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. In other words, we have the privilege of entering into God's presence at any time. I'm talking about any hour of the day or night. We can enter right into His throne room 24/7. Hebrews 10:19 says it this way, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So we see by His grace, we can approach Almighty God on our own. We don't have to have someone else do that for us. Before we were justified, we stood before God as before we stood before God as condemned criminals. And now because of what Christ has done on the cross for us, we can stand before Him as sons and daughters. Listen now, when the storms of life batter us around and the enemy comes in like a flood with his lies, we can be anchored in the truth that we are not what we once were. By God's grace, we have been justified. We have been declared righteous in the eyes of Almighty God. We now then have a peace that the world does not have. We are loved and we are accepted by the King of Kings into the family of God and are then given favor and access to His very presence. So the first anchor that helps us through adversity is realizing our present position. I am a new creation in Christ. I have been made new. I have been delivered. I have been set free. I'm not the old sinner I used to be. I've been made new. So take that devil and put it in your pipe and smoke it. Knowing that, yes, I may fall, but I'll get back up through God's mercy and His love to go and fight another day. Understand that keeps you standing firm when the enemy comes to trick you and tries to push you over with his lies. In adversity, you can stand strong in knowing then who you are now in Christ Jesus, realizing your present position. The second anchor is this, the reflecting on our future hope. Man, how many times have we said the word hope this morning? Look at the latter part of verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, when I think of the word rejoice, I don't think of something like a half-hearted smile. I think more like along the lines of jubilation. It's really how Sister Linda would react if you give her something that's colored red, like a red Cadillac. You know. Now, right now, she's downsized. They have a royal blue car. But I'm telling you, she's just as excited about that. The word hope here in the Greek isn't really like the English word for hope, which in itself conveys something uncertain. Biblically, hope means that something that hasn't happened. That something that hasn't happened. Yet, it's going to come to pass. And when it does, guess what? There's going to be a lot of praise and thanks given to God. And when it happens, we're going to be amazed at what He does. The English word, then, that comes closest to hope is the word confidence or assurance. So here we go now. In the midst of a crisis, in the midst of that turmoil at work, in the midst of the drama going on at home, even when we seem at our lowest point and we don't think we can go another day, we can be confident because of our future hope. Our anchor is weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That everything that the enemy meant for bad in that moment of chaos, the Lord has gone before us and is working for our good, even when we cannot see Him in that moment. What did Job say? I'm going forward. I can't see Him. I can't find Him in the back. I don't really see Him, but I don't see Him on the right, and I don't see Him on the left, but He's back there on my left. He's working on my behalf. We can be confident because our future hope. We can trust Him knowing everything's going to be okay. We can praise Him and declare it done even before it's manifested. Why? Because we are in covenant with Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. Now listen to what Romans 8:18 says. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So the first anchor is one. We're realizing our present position. That's who you are in Christ. The second anchor, reflecting on our future hope. That we can trust God that everything is going to be all right. The third anchor that can help us through adversity is this. Recognizing God's purposes. Recognizing God's purposes. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience or endurance, and patience experience, and experience what? Hope. Now, for many folks, including, yes, Christians, usually the first thing that they will say when they're going through some difficulty is, well, why did this happen? Why did this have to happen to me of all people? In fact, you got to be careful now not to raise your hand on this, but how many in here would honestly say, I love to suffer? I love to suffer. I think we can agree then that nobody in their right mind likes to suffer. And I'll be the first one to say that my specialty is not glorying in tribulation, as Paul said we should be doing, okay? But I'll tell you this. I've learned a thing or two about my growth through trials, not as a pastor, but just as a believer. In fact, I'll go as far as to say this. Some of the times I have felt God the closest, or the closest to God, has been during and after a storm that I have encountered when, watch this now, when I was driven to my knees seeking God's guidance, Sister Nora, and His comfort and His strength, when I did not think I could go on. Can I tell you that there's something about trials that we go through that brings us or brings out our true character that maybe wouldn't have surfaced if that trial had not come our way? Why then does God let things happen to us that we don't understand? Now remember, God is a good God. He does not do bad things. He does not send that hurricane to destroy your life and your property. He's not a bad God. So why then does God allow things to happen to us that we don't understand? I don't know all the answers, but I will tell you this. The last time I checked, as humans, we can be pretty stubborn sometimes. Amen? And guess what? We don't listen very well either. Did you know that sometimes God will allow things to happen to us just to wake us up? Sometimes He lets things happen to us so that other people will see, watch this now, so they will see just how we will react and where our strength comes from when tragedy strikes. God was so confident in Job. The Bible say He recommended for Satan to go check him out. I'm just not so sure I'm ready for God to tell Satan, would you go check Marshall out right there? Let's let that stay with Job. How's that? Listen, maybe He has a lesson for us to learn that can't be learned any other way. Maybe He wants to use your suffering to reach somebody else. I don't know why He allows things to happen to us that we don't like. All I know is that I've learned from His Word, and I've learned from experience that somehow, Sister North, on the other side, it's all going to turn out for our good. It's almost like there's a curtain with all of the answers on the other side. And from time to time, God pulls back that curtain and he lets us see why things happen the way they do. And guess what? Then it's closed again. Sometimes it's closed for a very long time. Sometimes we don't ever even get to see why things happen, and won't know till we eventually get to stand before him and ask why. Like, why did we have to lose those we love? This passage of Scripture doesn't attempt then to explain anything we need to know about suffering. But it does highlight the fact that sufferings work together to promote our spiritual growth. This week I came across this simple little poem. Listen to what it says. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser with all that she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she, but oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. So we really can have confidence in Almighty God, in our Heavenly Father, through the storms of life. Look at verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, or we could say will not lead to disappointment, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. God, listen, God may allow you to experience difficulty, but understand, he does not disappoint in the end. We could be anchored. We can be anchored when we recognize God's purpose for our lives. The fourth anchor that helps us through adversity is this: recalling God's amazing love. Recalling God's amazing love. Look at verses 6, 7, and 8. Follow along. Now I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It's fairly close to the King James. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. Watch this now. While we were still sinners. When we think about the possibility of us dying for someone, who do we think of? Our spouse? Our kids? Our parents? How about our friends? But for our enemy? Are you kidding me? You know, in several of these verses, people without Christ are described as without strength, ungodly, sinners, even call them enemies. Did you know that God's love for us was not motivated by anything inside of us? Why? Because we were sinners. That means we were sinful. That means, Brother Springer, we were full of it. We were full of sin. But because his love is unmerited, and because his love is not dependent on us, guess what? It will never, never change. Understand that there's nothing that you could ever do to make God love you more than he already does. Or any less. He loves us, and his love is something we always have. Now, of course, he doesn't like some of the things that we do, and he will allow us then to have to pay the consequences of our fleshly and our earthly actions. But understand, his love for us is unconditional. Can I just be honest and tell you the problems? That problem still come my way as a believer? You, Pastor, you got problems? Yes, I got problems. I put my pants on just like everybody else. guess what? I mess up and I make mistakes, but I have someone that loves me unconditionally that I can take my problems to. Let me ask you, in the past when you were going through a storm in your life, was there ever a time when you felt that in that moment you were all alone? Even like nobody cared? If so, listen, let's understand that as a child of God, as a born-again believer, remember, Jesus lives inside of us. His Holy Spirit is within us. And He is there with us through everything that we're going through. And He goes to some of the same places that you do. And He is there when you hurt. And He understands everything you've gone through and may go through in the future. The book of Hebrews, in fact, tells us that Jesus Himself suffered and was tempted. And because of that, listen, He's able to help us who are tempted. It also tells us how Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses. Listen closely now. Never forget that Jesus loves you. And He wants to help you through the storms that you're facing or that what you might face down the road. Nobody ever loved you like Jesus does. Remember in Matthew chapter 14, when Jesus went up on a mountain by Himself to pray? While He's praying, the disciples go on ahead at His command, and they get in a boat and they start toward the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when they get out in the middle, it says the boat was tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. What do you think was going on at that moment? There was a storm. But the very next verse says Jesus went to them. Listen, He could have let that storm just fight it on their own, let them fight it on their own, possibly being drowned, but He didn't do it. Because He loved those guys. And so He goes walking on the water, and as soon as He gets in the boat, the storm ceases. He came to them in the midst of a storm and went through it with them for a time. And that's what He does for you and me. And that's what He'll do for us when we need Him. So the anchors then that we have that we can hold on to in adversity are, number one, realizing your present position, that being who you are in Christ right now, you're no longer a sinner. You might mess up, but you're no longer an old sinner. You're not a worm. The second anchor being that, reflecting on our future hope, we can trust God that everything is going to be all right in the end. The third anchor that can help us through the adversity, recognizing God's purposes. He really does desire for His will to be accomplished in us. The fourth anchor, recalling God's amazing love. He died for us while we were yet sinners. He loved us in all of our mess. Like I said, He loved us enough to not let us stay in our mess. The final anchor is this, that we can hold on to through any adversity that comes our way. And that's rejoicing in Jesus Christ and all that He's done. Let's look at verse 9 and 10. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now, we've already talked earlier about justification. You've got to understand, salvation involves justification. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. Salvation also involves sanctification. It means we are being saved from the power of sin. We are being saved. And it also involves glorification. We will be saved from the presence of sin one day. And so in God's high court, whatever Satan throws at us because of the blood of Jesus, guess what? God says, overruled. Overruled over your life. He has already given his verdict, and in Jesus Christ, we win. Would you look at your neighbor and tell him, we're going to win. It doesn't matter how much damage, listen now, the storm has done, because we still have him. And when you have him, you have all that you will ever need, because guess what? He'll supply. And if it's been taken away, guess what? He's in the restoration business, and he'll restore it to you. If the enemy has stole it, he's got to pay it back sevenfold. And guess what? God doesn't just give back patched up stuff. It's brand new. David said it this way in Psalms 37 and 25. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And guess what? He was right. Now all of these anchors that help us through adversity revolve around this one truth given to us in verse 11. Here's what it says. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or the reconciliation. I'll close with this. Jesus is the anchor above all others, and it's through him that we have reconciliation. We once were enemies, but not now, because of what Jesus has done. Reese Gordon is gone. Gordon's been sick. That's all right. He's playing on top of it. We're going to let you rest today. I forgot to tell you. Take the rest of the time off. We once were sinners, but not now, because of what Jesus has done. The storms of life are going to come, and you can count on it. Amen? James says, when you encounter trials, not if you encounter. But when they come, guess what? We can turn to those anchors of truth for the north. Let me leave you with these questions. Are you anchored? If so, what are you anchored to? Did you make sure that it's Jesus? Now, did you know a lot of folks are holding on to a weight instead of an anchor? And guess what? They are not the same thing. And they serve different purposes. A weight will take you and drag you down to the very bottom of life's seas. What are some weights? How about worry, constant anxiety, depression? How about guilt and shame? How about unhealthy habits that, if they're not dealt with, will eventually take a toll on your life? Hebrews 12 and 1 tells us, strip off every weight that slows us down, and especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with patience, or run with endurance, the race that is set before us. Now, before we take communion, and as Brother North sings, let's examine this morning ourselves and determine to let go of any weights that are holding us back as we go through 2021. Determine that you're going to walk in victory and not defeat. Amen and amen. All right, Brother North's going to come. And while he does, they're going to be passing out right where you're seated.